getting older, not in long distance years from now. Your back grows out more than you do. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. When you reach down to tie your shoe, you wonder if there's anything else you can do while you're down. You sit down in a rocking chair and can't get it started. The preacher told me at my age, I should think about the hereafter. I told him I do all the time. No matter where I am, the bathroom, the kitchen, the bedroom, I ask myself, what am I here at? You own clothes, the same clothes, and they come back in style twice. There are three signs of old age. Memory loss. Okay. So we chuckle at those corny jokes, or perhaps we don't. But, and I don't mean to be insensitive to anyone this morning for whom those jokes ring a little too true. Our entire lives we fight giants. And as we age and our strength wanes, the giants keep getting bigger. One after another comes our way, and they get meaner and meaner, so we have to learn and develop new ways to fight. Today we're going to look at two Old Testament greats who were up in age. And we're going to look at the ways that they fought giants. And because it's an art, there's more than one way to do it. And we're going to see that this morning. Our first fighter is David. Near the beginning of his life stood a giant named Goliath. And everybody's heard about that battle. Now, near the end of David's life stood four giants. And a lot of us don't remember those four, so I'm going to refresh your memory by pointing you to 2 Samuel, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 to 22. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels, and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "Never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished." In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines and Gob. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Sam, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines and Gob, Elhanan, son of Jerry, Oregon, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha and Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. Well, David can still remember the day. He remembers very well picking up the five smooth stones from the brook and placing one of them in his sling, and he threw it with great results. The Jerusalem Gazette was there that day, and they splashed a picture on the front page, and the title of their article was "Boy Wonder Kills Giant." After that, David went on the speaking circuit. He was the youngest authority on the art of killing giants in Israel, probably at age 16. They even made a ready-for-TV movie about his life. Verse 15 says, "Once again there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel." It seems like there was always a battle between the Philistines and Israel. And that reminds us that we are, too, constantly in a spiritual battle. then we have an enemy of our soul, Satan, who seeks to devour us. So we have an adversary, and we cannot let our guard down. Verse 15 also says that David became exhausted. Exhaust in a car is that kind of residual fuel that comes out of the taillight. After the best fuel has been burned, it's kind of what is the leftovers. And perhaps you feel exhausted today, burnt out, running on fumes, best years spent. Listen to what happens as we age. Scientific analysis of aging reveals that aging is indeed a slowing down process. The physiological activities of the body inevitably decline. During physical exercise, the amount of blood pumped by the heart per minute is less in the older person than in the younger one. And the amount of oxygen that the blood takes up from the lungs and carries to the tissues also declines. The overall slowdown in body functions, however, means that older people need more time to return to normal after exercise than younger persons. Other changes also take place. There's a decreased elevation of adrenal activity in older persons, meaning that the elderly have a reduced capacity for coping with stress. Our senses also may decline with age. The sense of taste sustains the most expensive loves. The number of taste buds per capita of the tongue can go from an average of 245 in young people to only 88 in people of advanced years. The weight of our body organs also decreases. The brain, for example, in older persons may weigh as much as 44% less than the brain of a younger person. This weight loss is due to the loss of tissue caused by the death and disappearance of body cells. In fact, the aging process is often described as a reduction in the number of the cells in the body. This also means a loss of muscle fibers with resulting decrease in physical strength. As we age, the reserve capacities in our body, our ability to return to normal, and the disturbances in our equilibrium caused by strains and stresses is reduced. Ultimately, however, this reduction does occur, and as disease, incapacity, and just the stress of daily living impose more demands on our shrinking reserve capacities, our body begins to die. So that's the reality of it. David remembers flipping through the press clippings, and he mused how cocksure he was. He had unlimited energy and unlimited health. Now he can't remember what happened to that old sling. But new giants are facing him. The same God is with him, after all. But the problem for David was his horse kept getting bigger and taller every year. And his sword kept getting heavier, and now he had a spare tire under his armor. Verse 16 mentions the new giant, and I'm just going to call it Ivy. Okay? Ivy said he was going to kill David. 20 years ago, David would have dispatched with old Ivy with no problem whatsoever, and would have made mince meat of his three friends. He remembered that old song in Israel long ago. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He loved that song. Now arthritis kept him from snapping his fingers to the beat. The desire was still there, but not the body. He's exhausted. He's burned out. He's running on fumes. Verse 17. But Abishai came to David's rescue. Long ago, David would have never have permitted that. He would have slapped down Abishai. He was young and strong and proud. But age and wisdom had taught him that it's okay to be helped. So let me repeat that again. It's okay to be helped. Your value is more than just killing giants. Allowing other people to help you keeps you humble. And it does keep you dependent on others. And most of us don't like that. But it's inevitable. Could he have defeated Ivy? Probably. But it would have been a huffing and puffing affair. And then another giant would have showed up ready to kill him. And then another giant would have showed up thinking he could kill him. Now there's a new top 40 psalm in Israel. David has slain his thousands, and Abishai his 10,000. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Let them sing. In fact, sing along with them. You don't have to prove anything. You're secure in Christ, who you are at this stage of your life. The remaining part of this passage speaks of other giants that come against David and his Israelites. It seems like life never runs out of time.
The four giants were at the end of David's life. I would say to you today, let others help you. God will help you. Other people want to help you. Let them, allow them to. You can walk in the victory that Jesus Christ has wrought for you. Also, don't lay your armor down until he comes. Let's look at our second fighter. His name is Caleb. We're going to see that Caleb never lost his passion for God. And that is a very important secret of success as we age. For some Christians, unfortunately, their devotion for Christ wanes, as does their physical strength. Somewhere along the line, they begin to lose their first love. That they grow soft and undisciplined. They indulge too much. And Caleb's story goes against the grain of that kind of a mindset of, I'm just going to give up and take it easy at this point in my life. Caleb's story is Israel's story. They have been conquering the land that God had given them and dividing it up among various tribes and clans and families. And now we're going to look at the text, Joshua 14. We're going to read Caleb's story here. Starting at verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. It may surprise you to know that Caleb wasn't a Jew. He was a descendant of Esau. His Kenizzite name, Caleb, means dog. Somewhere along the line, he joined Israel and became one of them. Now he's 85, and he reflects on when he was young, age 40. He recalls the spying mission where he and 11 others went into the land of Canaan, the promised land. It was a gorgeous land, a fruit-filled land, but they also saw giants there. In fact, the report of the other spies was negative. You remember that story. They said, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these other people there. There are giants there. And I read commentators that'll say the people living in the land were like 6'6". Look, these people weren't stupid, these Israelite people. Even if they were 5'6", if someone's 6'6", that doesn't make you a grasshopper next to them. These people were giants. But it says, Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. And it says that three times in the text. I hope you caught that. Wouldn't you like that said about you at the end of your life? He, she followed God wholeheartedly. That you never allow thoughts of doubt or discouragement to breed giants in your mind. That you acted vigorously upon the word of God your entire life. I appreciate his faith and his perseverance. He was ready to enter the promised land at verse 40. He had a good report. He said, God will help us win this battle. But his doubting, faithless neighbors persuaded the people to go against God's will. And that he too then was a man that wandered around the desert for an additional 40 years. The best years of his life, perhaps, wasted. But his attitude is remarkable. You get no sign of bitterness in his voice. He's not jealous that Joshua is the leader and not him. In fact, he comes to Joshua, the leader, at age 85 and asks for the most difficult assignment. He wants the last stronghold in the land of Israel, where the giants are, to be his inheritance. He remembered how good Hebron was. It was green and lush and fertile. He knew the patriarchs were buried there. Abraham and his family were buried there. It was a special place, and he wanted it. The biggest challenge of his life at age 85. Most of us, if we hope we'll make it to 85, and then we're ready to give up. He was dreaming a battle. More giants to defeat was his motto. Caleb retire? No way. Over the hill? No, up the hill. Take it easy? Not me. I'm too old for that. Impossible. And the very next chapter tells about how he defeated the three sons of Anak who were giants. Now, perhaps you had relatives like I did when I was a little boy who would tell stories of their childhood, that they would walk to school for 5 miles in the snow, uphill, both ways, barefooted. They all worked in the coal mine, 16 hours a day, digging coal with their bare hands when they were 8. And I would remember hearing those stories and just laugh and laugh. Now, as I think back on it, those people were a lot tougher than me. Listen to some of these people. They're tough. I recently heard of a woman, age 90, Huldah Crooks, who once again is planning to climb Mount Whitney, a 14,000-foot mountain in California, for the 21st time. J.C. Penney started his company at age 65. A.B. Simpson started the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination in his 60s. Ben Ryrie retired as a missionary at age 70. So, with a lot of time on his hands, he just sat in his rocking chair, right? Nope. He decided to study New Testament Greek to help him in his devotions. At age 90, he took Greek classes at a Toronto seminary and is teaching Greek today at age 100. Oliver Wendell Holmes was a Supreme Court justice at 90. There was a jockey, age 72, who rode a horse, age 14, to second place in a prestigious horse race some years ago. But what was really impressive was that he rode the horse 140 miles to enter the race. Don't give up just because you're older in years. God has a lot for you yet. Caleb followed God fully all the days of his life. That was his key to success. That's your key to success too. He never stopped growing because God was with him and he put God first. Have you lost your sense of adventure in your older age? Have you stopped taking risks for God? Have you shrunk back from the rigors of battle? Take off your bathrobe and go into the closet, to the back of the closet where your armor is, and put it back on. Remember reading about an elderly couple who went to a seminar called Total Commitment. And they vowed as they left that seminar to each other that we are going to serve the Lord until we die. On their way home, they were accidentally, it wasn't purposeful, accidentally run off the road. And they went down an embankment into a stream, a fast-moving stream. Water began to fill their car, so they got out of the car and made their way to the hood of the car. It wasn't a deep stream, and they weren't moving, but they were waiting there till help came. A crowd began to gather around. So they began to sing from the hood of their car. They sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's a fitting song. And so they saw the crowd gathering around them and they thought, this is a golden opportunity to share our faith. And so that's exactly what they did. The husband began by saying, you're probably wondering why we've called you here today. Yeah. But then he and she took turns sharing the gospel with the people there, telling them of the supreme importance of making Jesus Christ the Savior and Lord of your life. Well, maybe today you feel more like David than you do Caleb. That's okay. Calebs are pretty rare. But I say to you today, keep fighting. Don't give up. Keep on your spiritual armor. You can defeat the enemy. You will defeat him. And remember, ask for help when you need it and then receive it. That's okay, too. God has given you lots of wisdom and life experience. Use it for him. Share it with us. Don't quit serving God. Aging isn't a choice, but it is a choice what we decide to do with it and respond to it. You can allow fears and doubts to grow like giants in your mind, or you can rise up and fight them and defeat them. And you will with Christ's help. He will give you the victory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these two giant fighters. Thank you for their example. And each and every one of us as a human being faces giants in our lives too. So help us to win the battles that we must win with the help of others and with your strength. I know that there are folks out here that are facing some real giants today. Empower them, inspire them to keep up the good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.